Welcome, everyone. My name is Antonio. I'm a senior software engineer at Red Hat, where I work for the containers team, where I also maintain the Cryo project. Probably you've heard about it. And I'm also maintaining other container-related tools within Red Hat. Today, we're going to talk about Cryo, which is a container runtime for Kubernetes. We'll go through why Kubernetes introduced a new API called the CRI, what were the issue it was facing, how it solved it with the CRI, and how we've built Cryo from little tools and libraries we've been building over the past few years, I guess. So I'll briefly talk about some of the container tools we've built as part of the whole Cryo project, especially the Project Atomic project, but this will be at the end. So roughly 4 years ago, the only supported runtime in Kube was just Docker. And that means that at the time, the interaction between the kubelet and the container runtime was built into the kubelet itself, like in the code base of the kubelet. There was a sort of maintenance burden in doing that, because every new feature being added to Kube required the maintainers to actually change also the interaction between the kubelet and Docker itself. Then Rocket came, and again, the interaction was wired into the kubelet itself. So the Kubernetes maintainer thought that if another runtime would come, then that requires another built-in interaction in the kubelet. That wasn't really scalable. And on top of that, Docker, the runtime, was actually breaking Kube at every release. And there was also another issue, which was extensibility. So Kube was extensible, and it's meant to be extensible, but there was no way to actually plug a new runtime at will. And so it was pretty much restricted to Docker and Rocket. So the community gathered together, and they came up with this idea of removing the interaction between the kubelet and a given runtime outside of Kube itself. And that was the time when the CRI, or the Container Runtime Interface, has been created. The CRI interface is a plug-and-play API, and it means that as long as your container runtime implements the server side of the CRI, everything is going to work just fine. Kubelet is going to be able to create pods, containers, and do all the work it needs to do. It's a gRPC API, and it's available from Kube 1.5 as an alpha features. Nowadays, it's the default, and even the Docker runtime is running through the CRI itself. It's a client-server architecture, and again, the container runtime implements the server side of this API, and the kubelet implements the client side. The CRI itself consists of two main pieces. One is the runtime service, which is the one in charge of the pods and the container life cycles, which includes actions like running a pod, stopping it, create a container in a given pod, getting the list of all running containers in Kubernetes, as well as being in charge of the interaction between the containers for things like grabbing the logs for a container, exec-ing into a running container, attaching and attaching. So the runtime service is the first piece, and it's in charge of all of this. And then there is the image service, which, as you can imagine, is in charge of the image lifecycle. And again, it includes actions like pulling an image, getting the status of an image, to gather information like the image file size. And it's also responsible for reporting file system information to the kubelet for stuff like the image garbage collection, like the kubelet can request the runtime how much space there is left so that it can actually evict some pods if there is disk pressure. This is a nice overview of the CRI in action. You can see on the left side, we have the Kubelet, which is implementing just the gRPC client. And it talks to, in this case, there is a CRI shim. This is the default when running with the Docker runtime. The CRI shim is a daemon implementing the gRPC server. And then on the right side, we do have the container runtime and all the containers. So at that point, we've been working with the Kubernetes community and maintainers, and we thought that the status of the container runtime within Kube wasn't that stable at the time. So we came up with this idea of implementing a new container runtime, which was meant just for Kube, and which was specifically an open governance project. And nowadays, Cryo, it's under the Kubernetes SIGs organization. So we adhere to the Kube rules. And again, that's open governance for us. Cryo is also, of course, an open source project. We're on GitHub. It's really tiny as far as the code base goes. So it's really lean. It's really stable because it's small. It's also secure because since it's small, we can also audit the full source code and fix bugs instantly. And probably the most important thing is that Cryo's boring because we don't do anything else than just what Kubernetes needs. In Cryo, we don't have any such features that Kubernetes don't need. For instance, we don't build images. Kubernetes doesn't need to build images, we don't build images. And that's really important because when you have a huge project like a container runtime, if you implement features that can actually mine stability on other parts of the runtime, that's bad. So we didn't want to do anything like that. So Cryo just implements what it needs for Kube, and that's it. And again, that's boring. That's also boring because we choose to use the Open Container Initiative specification. Specifically, we are using the runtime specification and the image specification. This makes sure that from release to release, there won't be any breakage in the way we talk to the runtimes. And that's pretty much what Kube wants as well. Kube just wants for every release to run the containers as it was doing in the previous release. So by adhering to such standards, we make sure that hopefully we don't break from time to time. And again, Cryo is made for Kube and just for Kube. There is no other intended user other than Kubernetes. So there is no Cryo PS or Cryo logs or whatever. It's just meant for Kube. So to actually narrow down the scope. The scope of Cryo itself is tied to the CRI. So from release to release, if the CRI needs a new action to be implemented, we'll do that. And only that. We won't do anything other than that. Cryo itself is shaped around Kube, and that means that we know what Kube needs as far as the container runtime is. So we know that there are certain actions like getting the image status or the container status, which are recurring actions. And so we are able to speed up that code path in Cryo itself to make it faster because Kube needs that. Again, the only supported user is Kube. And we will never add any features that can mine stability and performance. I'll talk about that in a moment as well, but we make sure that we never break Kube in any way, and we make sure for every release to not regress in performance. Versioning is also tied to upstream Kube. So right now, 1.12 is going out the door, and guess what? Cryo is also going with the Cryo 1.12, so that it's a no-brainer to understand which version goes which with the version of Kubernetes supported. Support is also tied to Kube, and that means Cryo is backporting patches as long as Cube needs it. So right now, the old supported release is probably 1.7, and we do still support 1.7 for security fixes. This is, again, an eye-level view of the architecture of Cryo within Cube. You can see the kubelet on the left side calling through the gRPC API into Cryo, and you can see it's made of the image service and the runtime service I've talked before. For the image service, we're using a library called Containers Image, which is the one in charge of pulling images, listing images on any given node and stuff like that. And the runtime service is the one which is actually running the containers through the OCI container runtime. We make use of library slice, the OCI generate, which is a library to create configurations for OCI compatible runtime. So we make sure that we can generate one configuration for every OCI compatible runtime. So you can come up with your own container runtime and it should just work. For networking, we're using the CNI. Probably you're already familiar with this if you use Cube. And at the lowest level, we use a library called Container Storage, which is the one in charge of, for instance, exploding the image into layers on a copy and write file system like OverlayFS, and then run your container. Above, you can see those are two examples of two pods running with Cryo. So there is an infra container because neither Cryo nor Docker, for that matter, is a pod concept. So we did the same as Docker did, and we implemented the pod concept as an infra container holding namespaces and cgroup, and then we spawn the actual application containers inside the namespaces and cgroups for the infra container so that we achieve the pod concept in that way. And for every container running, we also have a little tool called Common, which stands for Container Monitoring. I will dive into that in a moment. So the heart of Cryo and Cube itself, it's running containers. So we do make sure that we can run almost every container out there if it's OCI compatible. Right now, our default is RunC, which is a project and a runtime inside the Open Container Initiative repository. But we also support new runtimes like Kata Containers, which was previously known as Clear Containers. And for every runtime, we also make sure that it won't break Cube in any way. And for instance, the Kata Containers maintainers reports to us for every pull request if something goes wrong, so that we won't merge any features that can actually break the other container runtime. Container Storage is the library I've talked to you before, and is the one in charge of managing layers on copy and write file systems. Cryo, by default, uses OverlayFS, which is pretty stable, and it's our default. In Container Storage is also, you can view it as the storage drivers for Docker, like device mapper, overlay. Then we do have, again, the Containers Image Library, which is a library, again, for pulling images. This library is probably where everything started because we extracted it from a tool I'm going to talk about later. And we embedded it into our downstream Docker as well, so it's really battle tested. You can pull images without any privilege as well. Like today, if you want to, with other tools, if you want to pull an image, you actually need to be root. That wasn't what we wanted. So as part of developing Containers Image, we make sure that we can pull images as unprivileged user, as it should be. And Containers Image is also, for us, has been the playground for adding and experimenting with new features. Cryo itself today can run with what we call simple signing, which is signature verification for Containers Image. So you can enable that in Cryo if you want it. And that has been possible because we actually implemented all of this in Container Image, and we're using it in Cryo. The other library that we use, it's a library extracted from a tool, which is the OCI runtime tool. And as I've told you before, it's just a library that generates OCI compatible configuration so that every runtime can read it and create containers in pretty much the same way as other OCI compatible runtime. The CNI is the container network interface, and you can come up with your own network stack if you want, as long as it implements this interface. Cryo is able to run with most of the plugins out there supported in Kube, like Flannel, Wave, you name them, and also the OpenShift SDN. And then we do have this little binary, which is called Common, which is the container monitor for every container. And as the word suggests, it's in charge of monitoring the whole life cycle of a container. It's basically in charge of starting the container itself. So when a request from the kubelet comes, we do spawn a Conman process that in turn spawn a runc for our default runtime, a runc process, and take care of it for the whole life cycle of the container itself. It's responsible for logging, for handling the TTUI for the container, serving HTTP client, detecting and reporting out of memory condition. And probably most importantly, it's also Conman is the parent process for the container itself. That means that Cryo can go down entirely, but your containers will still keep running on serving requests. That hasn't been the case before with other runtime as well, whether if you updated the runtime in question or Cryo, it will bring down all your containers. So since we do have this little binary in between Cryo and the container itself, we are able to upgrade Cryo without any downtime for the containers running. This is a zoom on the pod architecture. We're running with runc. You can see this all box is the pod itself, which shares the IPC, NAT, and PNIC spaces and C group. And these are the application containers that joins the namespaces of the infrastructure containers, holding the namespaces. And for each containers, we do have a Conman process. This is the architecture, which is a bit different with Clear containers and Kata containers. Since this is a virtual machine, the Kata containers developer implemented a shim in between the Conman process and the application containers and the pod itself. So this is it's pretty different than this one. But yeah, this is how it is in Kata containers. And now, I hope everything is going to go well. I'll show you how transparent was to actually implement, use Cryo with Kube, since you'll have the same experience as with other container runtime you're already used to. So I do have a one-node Kube cluster running on my laptop and draining all my battery power. You can see here we have the node. It's a 1.11 node, so it's the latest. I do have the Kube DNS, which is in charge of the networking for the whole cluster, and the dashboard running. And we're going to run an HTTP container with the image HTTP Alpine, and we should be seeing it running. You can see it's running. I'll show you in a moment that we're actually running with Cryo and nothing else. I don't know. I'm using this terminal for the first time because I thought it was better. Can you read it? Not at all? I don't really know. Let me do something.
Yeah, that's definitely not readable. And can you also like multiple screen
Okay. Are you able to see it now? I'm going to run this. Yeah, no. Okay. Okay. So we're going to run this again with the nodes, all the pods running. We can see that the HTTPD pod is running. And I'm starting a new one here. I do have two now. So the last one, you can see it has been started successfully. We can test it by curling the IP address for that pod. We can see it's working. We can curl a not found page for the sake of grabbing the logs and see that it's working over there. You can see the slash as sgconf 2018. We can also kubectl exec as you would normally do with other container runtime, and you can see httpd is running. You can also run interactively, and it's working. And now just check that we're running with CRUD itself. You can see that the output of kubectl describe is showing that we're running with the cryo slash slash, which means that we're running indeed with cryo. And there is no Docker running at all. Rather, all our containers for every pod that you've seen in the output of kubectl get pods is actually running through runc. And this is our container, the HTTPD container running. We can check that that is the one by looking at the PSAUX output. You can see it's still HTTPD. And for each container we're running, if we're also running a systemd scope for it, so for the sake of blogging and monitoring it. So if you prepend cryo dash to the container ready, the scope, you can actually, you can see that it's integrated with systemd itself. So we can see the all the processes running for it, the logs streaming to the systemd scope as well. And we do also run a scope for common as well. You can see it here. As you would normally do with other container runtime, of course, everything is going to work normally. So here's the dashboard, which is working just fine. You can see we do have the two pods running. And since we do care about performance, in Cryo itself, we've implemented Prometheus. I know this is really small. We've implemented Prometheus metrics so that if something goes wrong or if something isn't looking that good, someone can go here and just try to understand what's going on. So back here. So the status as of today is that the CRI interface is implemented at any time. And that means for every release, we make sure all the CRI is implemented. So if any new actions is required by the CRI itself, we implement it before releasing it. We do have maintainers from and contributors, more than 90 maintainers, more than 90 contributors from many companies like Red Hat, Intel, IBM, you name it. You can run Cryo with Kube, with KubeADM or Minikube. There's support for mixed workloads. Nowadays, these are called runtime classes in Kubernetes 1.12. That means that you can have certain pods running with runc, which is a runtime just not virtualized, whether you can have other pods that can run with runtimes like Kata containers so that you have virtual machine for a pod. Cryo itself is deployed to our OpenShift online cluster, so we do have a pretty good user base that it's testing on it. And the package for Cryo is available in Fedora, Ubuntu, RHEL, and it's really easy to get started. We do make sure that we don't, as I told you before, we make sure that we don't actually break Kube at any time. We do run more than 1,000 end-to-end tests for every pull request, and that that allow us not to break Kubernetes in any way. We do also run the OpenShift test, not as part of every pull request, but we do run them, which is a superset of the Kube end-to-end test. We do run a conformance testing, which is the CRI test. We do have our own integration test. And before every release, we also run a performance run to make sure that we don't regress. If you want to get started with Cryo and Kube, now you can use Minikube with this command line. I'll upload the slide so that everyone can actually take this. Or if you're running from a local setup, you can pass some environment variables to local app clusters and get going, as I'm doing here on my laptop. To debug what's going on with Cryo, and especially with the whole CRI interface, the community, the upstream community in Kube, came out with a new tool called CRI CTL, which is a small binary that just talks to the CRI endpoint of any container runtime, so that in case something goes wrong on a node, you usually SSH into it and Docker PS, Docker images, Docker exec. You can pretty much do the same with CRI CTL. So this is being tested as a debug tool. And we're going to move this project into the Kubernetes organization itself, since it's crucial for the Kube project. So everything in Cryo has been made possible by some libraries like containers image, container storage. And over time, even before starting Cryo itself, we created some tools that are working with containers in general, so that we created tools like Scopio, which is a tool to run, to play with containers image. Like, you can pull images, as I told you before, by using containers image, which is the one Scopio is using. So you can actually pull an image without being root, as it's desirable. There is no demo running with pulling an image. So it's just straight command, and you'll have the images on your host, or you can sync up images between registries. Another tool that we've built by leveraging those little libraries that we're using in Cryo itself is Builda, which is a tool to build containers images. And again, we don't have any demo running. Builda uses a shell-like syntax to build images. So there is still support for Docker files, but of course, we know that people are still using Docker files, so it's still supported. And then we created a tool called Podman, which is just running containers as Docker does. Like today, you can Podman run something. And all of these three tools, maybe except Scopio, are going to be demoed and by Dan Walsh later today. So make sure to come to his session. So overall, the Kubernetes community came up with this idea of the CRI interface, and we leveraged that by creating the best runtime, since it's the only runtime made for Kube, specifically for Kube. Any other runtime has other supported user, whether Cryo is just for Kube. And so by also leveraging all the libraries, we use it into Cryo. We also built many tools for the whole containers ecosystem, building apps from libraries like containers image, storage, all the Open Containers Initiative libraries. So the roadmap, very briefly, is to, well, not the first one, but we aim to be the default in Kube upstream, since we think that we are specifically for Kube. We will keep pace with upstream Kube, and that means tracking and supporting Kubernetes, all the Kubernetes version out there. We moved out the Kubernetes incubator organization to something called the Kubernetes SIG, which is a repository for SIG specific tools. So Cryo is in there now. It's not the default container runtime for OpenShift, but that's on our roadmap. But it's already the default container runtime in OpenSUSE MicroS. So if you install and use MicroS, right now you get the kubelet and the Cryo runtime as default. And of course, we are aiming at having more adoption overall. If you want to get involved, make sure to go to these links. And we do have a Freenode channel, Cryo, and we usually hang around in the Signode channel and Cryo channel in the Kubernetes Slack. We do have a website if you want to see it as well. With that, thank you. If you want stickers, Vincent has stickers over there. I ran out of time, so I guess I'll take questions outside.